Our Lord, we thank you for that good news of your word just now that we've just heard about and seen about. Thank you for the way that you changed that man's soul. And Lord, we pray that as we think about that now, that we would hear your voice speaking to us and that you would change us too. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Right. Okay, can you remember that story you've just seen now on the computer and that Alison's just read for us now? This is a question to all of you at the back as well. Can you remember that? Well, let's see how we got on. What was Saul doing at the start of the story? All right, I want big shouty out answers. So what was Saul doing at the start of the story? Can you remember? What was he up to at the start of the story? Do you think you can remember? He was persecuting people, wasn't he? Who was he persecuting? Who was he persecuting? Can you remember? I can have answers from... Go on over there. The Christians, wasn't he? He was persecuting the first Christians, the followers of Jesus. Yeah, here we go. We've got a Bible verse up there. Here we go. It says, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, against disciples of Jesus. He went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So he was persecuting the Christians, wasn't he? He was trying to go and get them in prison. He was going to go and take them to prison. That's what he was going to do. Right. That's what he was doing at the start. Okay. What was he doing at the end of the story we've just seen up there? What was he doing at the end of the story? Can you remember? Anyone remember what he was doing at the end of the story? Trini, you sort of waved your hand a bit. He was being nice to the Christians, wasn't he? Yeah, he was being nice to the Christians. And he was doing even more, wasn't he, on the video? What was he doing, favour? He became a Christian. And he was actually telling other people about how they could become Christians. He was telling people about Jesus. Right, okay, simple question. Is that the same? What he did at the start, what he did at the end, is it the same? No. Right, you've all got that, haven't you? Not the same. Totally opposite, wasn't it? The start he was being horrible to Christians, and at the end he was telling people about Jesus and being nice to Christians. How strange. What was it that made the difference? All right, this is our question. What was it that made the difference? What happened to Saul that changed him? What happened to Saul that changed him? Go on. God changed him. Brilliant. Yeah, God changed him. Who did he meet? Who did Saul meet? Go on. Jesus. He met Jesus, didn't he? Saul was walking along the road and he met Jesus. All right, that's what he was doing at the end. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what happened to change him. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go to the city and you will be told what you must do. He met Jesus, didn't he? He was walking down the road, off to persecute the Christians, and then he met Jesus himself, didn't he? He was off to get the people who were following Jesus. And then he met Jesus himself. Do you think he was happy to meet Jesus? What do you think? I don't think so. I don't think he was happy at all at the start, was he? It was almost as if Saul was doing this. It was almost as if he was, you know, going along swatting flies. There he is. And then all of a sudden, this happens. And he got a nasty shock. He'd been swatting these followers of Jesus, and then all of a sudden, he met the risen Jesus himself in all power. And Jesus says to him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And Saul is scared, isn't he? He's terrified. Now, here's the thing to know. You know, we know that Jesus is loving, don't we? But Jesus is also big and scary. Do you know that? In a good way. In a good way, Jesus is big and scary. And we need to not forget that. I was at a museum the other day. It was the RAF Museum. It's always the RAF Museum with me. Anyone been to the RAF Museum? It's good, isn't it? Yeah, okay. I was at the RAF Museum, and there was a statue there of this lady holding a baby. And there was a little boy walking past with his dad, doing what I was doing, and he pointed at the baby and said, "Look, Dad, it's Jesus." And his dad sort of laughed. And the thing is, actually, every Christmas we remember that Jesus was a baby, don't we? But do you know what? We need to remember he's not a baby anymore. Because it's easy to get used to the idea that Jesus is a baby and that he's little and he's small. But no, Jesus is big. And Jesus is scary now to people who are being nasty to him, like he was to Saul. Jesus was big and scary because he's the ruler of the universe now. He's living and he's powerful now. And Saul saw that, didn't he? And when Saul met Jesus, he fell to the floor. He fell to the floor. Right. Okay. Saul met Jesus. Then what happened? What happened then? Saul had met Jesus. What happened to Saul next? Go on. He couldn't see, could he? Oh, here we go. For 3 days, he was blind. And he did not eat or drink anything. Saul met Jesus, didn't he? And everything stopped. He didn't eat. He didn't drink. He didn't see anything. It's almost like he's dead for 3 days. Isn't it? It's almost like 3 days just happen and nothing happens with Saul for 3 days. It's almost like he's dead. Now, here's a hard question for you. Can you think of anywhere else in the Bible you've heard of somebody who was dead for 3 days? Or who's a bit like they were dead for 3 days even, because there's two people I'm thinking of. Right, who can you think of who was dead for 3 days in the Bible? Who have I not asked yet? Go on, Wilma. Lazarus, there we go. Lazarus, what was it, 4 days, wasn't it, with Lazarus? But, good idea. Yeah, pretty much the same sort of thing though, isn't it? Excellent, I hadn't thought of that one. Good on you. Who else was dead for 3 days in the Bible? Go on, over there, Anna. Jesus was dead for 3 days, wasn't he? Jesus was dead for 3 days. Right, somebody else who, it was almost like they were dead for 3 days. They weren't dead, but it was a bit like they were dead. Jonah, brilliant. There we go. Oh, yeah, excellent. You know your Bibles already. I don't know what I'm doing. You're all sorted out. Okay. So here's two people, weren't there, who it was like they were dead for 3 days. Jonah was in the fish for 3 days. He didn't see anything. It was dark in there. He didn't eat. He didn't drink. And then after 3 days, the fish spat him out and he was completely changed. But the big one's Jesus, isn't he? Because Jesus really was dead for 3 days. And then he rose again. Well, it's almost like God wants us to know that what's happening with Saul is a bit like what happened with Jesus. You know, when Saul met Jesus, everything stopped. It was like the old Saul died. And there was a whole new Saul that grew up in his place. Because what happens then? Well, then Saul's met Jesus. He can't see anything. Then who did he meet after that? Can you remember? This is a little bit harder, this one. Can you remember who he met then after that? He met Jesus. He couldn't see anything. And he met one more person then after that. Anybody at the back know? Ananias. Excellent. The man called Ananias. And Jesus meets Ananias and says, "Go and tell Saul that he's my chosen follower." And Ananias says, "What? You sure? I know what he's been doing." But then the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel." You see, Jesus has plans for Saul, doesn't he? Jesus is going to make Saul into a missionary, someone who will take the message of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And it seems incredible because Saul had been persecuting Christians, but Jesus has plans. So Ananias goes to him and says, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who's appeared to you on the road, as you were coming here, has sent me to you so that you might see again and might be filled with the Holy Spirit." And he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's a totally changed man. Faith, what are you going to say? He did. Later on, he changed his name to Paul, didn't he? Yes, he changed his name to Paul when he was talking to people in Greek. Saul, he's a totally changed man. God, Jesus sends his Holy Spirit on Saul. Saul's change is complete. The old Saul is dead. There's a whole new Saul in his place. You know, what was he like at the start of the story? Saul hated Jesus. And he hated Jesus' followers. And at the end of the story, he loves Jesus. And he's one of Jesus' followers. He started off on his journey trying to stop the message of Jesus from going to anybody else. He carried on his journey trying to take the message of Jesus to everybody. It couldn't be any more different, could it? And the difference was Jesus. And it's a bit like this. So here's my little illustration. Here are some mega blocks. I've made a thing out of mega blocks. This is meant to sort of represent Saul's life in a funny sort of way. It's mega blocks, so it's not particularly subtle, but you'll see why in a minute. So he builds them, and it looks a little bit like a sword or something like that. And there's Saul on his way with his sort of sword, chasing away the Christians, and he meets Jesus, and Jesus just comes back to him, doesn't he? And there's just bits. And Saul's old life is totally smashed. But then what happens is this. Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, sort of gets Saul, and he starts to put the bits back together again. Oops. Just in a different sort of way. And it comes out looking a bit different. And his life, instead of being all about chasing the Christians away, well, Jesus makes it into a life that's all about Jesus, that's a life that's like Jesus himself, a life that's cross-shaped, a life where, just like Jesus suffered for other people, Paul, Saul as he was, is now going to suffer to help other people know about Jesus. That's what happened. That's what Jesus did to Saul. There's a few bits over there, you can find them later. That's what Jesus did to Saul. And we know, don't we, that actually Jesus does the same thing to us. He calls us to change too. Do you remember from holiday clubs in the past, we've talked about Jesus saying, repent. And we said that repent means, if you go along one way, you stop. You turn around. And you go God's way. And that's what Jesus says to all of us. Just like he said to Saul, he says, stop, turn around, go God's way. That's a really big change. But Jesus can do it. Right, we're going to sing a song now about our God, who's a great big God. And Christine's going to help us. Right, everybody, can you sit down? Children, can you go back to where you were with your families? But on the way, go to that corner all the way over there, where you'll find that Tunde will give you a special sheet to do just for a couple of minutes. You've got some activities on there, some challenges, some things about what we've just been thinking about with Saul that you can do. And if you can take them back and do them with your families, that would be great. The rest of us, we're just going to have a little bit more of a think about that. In the next couple of months, we're going to be studying more of the book of Acts together. And we're going to learn that it's all about, this bit is all about our God being a God who breaks through barriers. And the whole story of this section of the book of Acts is God breaking through barriers so that the message of Jesus can reach the ends of the earth. So, alright, what can we take from today? Well, I've got sort of two applications for you, two things to remember from the conversion of Saul that could really make a difference to you. And the first is this. The first is this. No heart is too hard for Jesus to break. No heart is too hard for Jesus to break. Saul's was the hardest heart around, wasn't he? His was the toughest nut to crack. Every fiber of his being was against Jesus, wasn't it? And yet Jesus turned him around. Now, it's true, I think, that the first step towards actually changing is wanting to change. That's true, isn't it? You know, Alcoholics Anonymous, they talk about that, don't they? They say, if you don't want to change, well, then the change is not going to happen. The first step is wanting to change. And there will be people here who will think about following Jesus, and they'll think of it as something they'd like to do. They'd like to change, to become like that. But you know, really, deep down, you're not really there at the moment. Well, if that's you, then you're a step on that journey. That's an important step. you want to change in that way. And Jesus can change you, he can. But Saul, he was way further back than that, wasn't he? He didn't want to change, not in the least. He was totally against Jesus, and he was absolutely convinced that he was right. But Jesus met him and turned him round. Jesus had to make him want to change, even. So he did that, didn't he? Jesus changes people. There's no hard heart, there's no heart so hard that Jesus can't break it. Perhaps you're here this morning, but there's someone you'd love to be here with you. You know, maybe a husband or a wife or a parent or a child or a friend. You'd love them to be a follower of Jesus. You'd love them to be saved. You long for them to know Jesus like you do. There is no heart that's so hard that Jesus can't break it. Now, some of you here last week will have met my dad. My dad was here last week. And the story of how my dad became a believer is pretty closely tied to mine, really, because it was when I saw the changes that God did in my dad that I started to take Jesus seriously myself. But my dad actually was a fairly tough nut to crack. He thought Christianity wasn't for him. He was a biologist, he still is. He knew his evolution, he thought he had all the answers. And he thought Christianity was nonsense. And he thought that the Christians were pretty sadly misguided. And he did like to go along to church sometimes, because my mum dragged him when she became a Christian. But, you know, he only enjoyed the intellectual battles, really. But then one day, when he'd heard the message of Jesus for the I don't know how manyth time, something clicked, and he knew all of a sudden that God was there, and he knew all of a sudden that Jesus was risen, and he knew that Jesus wanted him to give his life, and give his life to Jesus. And it wasn't in a vision. He didn't meet Jesus in a vision like Saul did, but nonetheless, that was God, by his Holy Spirit, working in my dad's heart. Later that day, my dad asked Jesus to take over his life, and Jesus did. And that was the Holy Spirit working in his life, showing him Jesus. There's no heart so hard that Jesus can't break through. We've got to pray, haven't we? We've got to pray. The other thought is this: nothing less than death and resurrection will do, actually. You know, the sort of changes that need to happen for someone to become a follower of Jesus, they're not the kind of changes that can be sorted out with a little bit of good advice and a whole lot of effort. You know, like the sort of things you hear in school. You know, if you pay attention and try hard enough, you can be whatever you want to be. It's not like that, is it? That doesn't come even close to the sort of changes that God wants in our lives. Saul needed nothing less than death and resurrection, didn't he? He couldn't just say, yeah, I'm gonna include Jesus in my life. Sometimes we talk about asking Jesus into our lives, don't we? And that's fine, but sometimes that can be an unhelpful thing, because it can give the impression that when we meet Jesus, we just say, yeah, come on, I'll have some Jesus in my life. Like we're big white blood cells going around hoovering up all the germs out there and just incorporating them into our bodies. You know, I'm going to have some golf in my life. I'm going to have a bowl of Shreddies, and I'm going to have some Jesus in my life. And just, you know, nom, 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 and it all goes. But that's not the picture, is it? Jesus has to take over you, actually. He has to include you in his body, the church. And that can only happen when the old you which makes all the decisions and lives for yourself, when that old you dies, and Jesus gives you a whole new you. The blocks again. You know, it's only when such a big change like that happens, and it's a change that's so big that the best way of describing it is like a death. So much stops. It's like a death. But then it's like a new life, because so much starts. Only Jesus can make that change, but it will make a massive change, won't it? That's a big change in your life. Put that down. And it's that really big change, that really big start-off change, the new start, that can only really happen once, can't it? With Saul, He never had a change as big as that one again, although it echoed down through the rest of his life. But that first step, that's got to happen once. If that's a change you've not made yet, if that first step has not been made yet in your life, of turning around to follow Jesus, well, you need to know that Jesus can make that change. He can. He can change you. But if that one-off change has happened, well, don't forget that the way we start is also the way we go on as Christians. You know, every day is death and resurrection for believers, isn't it? Every day we need to be changing. Every day our lives need to die off and new things need to grow in their place so that we can become more and more like Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer, doesn't he? He makes us more and more like Jesus. That is going on. But is it still happening for you? Are those changes still being made in your life? Or have you got stuck as you are? Christians need to be people who are always changing. Are you still changing? What have you given up recently for Jesus? Or what have you started recently for Jesus? Are there bits of your life that are dying off so that new things can grow in their place for Jesus? No heart is so hard that Jesus can't break it. But nothing less than death and resurrection will do. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that you did this amazing work in Saul. Thank you that he who was so strongly against Jesus all of a sudden became, well, perhaps the most amazing servant of Jesus we've ever seen. Praise you, God, that you can do that. Lord God, please work in us too, by your same Holy Spirit, making Jesus known to us, so that we would not be the same. In Jesus we pray. Amen.